Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
We are happy to have you along.
Mm-hmm.
Got a great show put together for you today. Going to talk about a bundle of things. The one thing I want to remind you, because I get questions on this every week, we refer sometimes to segments of the show that aren't in the show. And they really are. You just don't get the whole show. It's kind of like, and it's not because we're teasing you. This is a syndicated show. Obviously, the big station in Indianapolis and WIBC. As well as Shine 99 and Wilo, you know, we're across the place, but we got syndicated, so we're in multiple states and different stations need different timing amounts. So you all get to hear the intro and you all get to hear what I call the outro.
Yes.
And you get four segments, but we do five. So if you want more, you can always go to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com to get that other part. If there's a question when you heard the show that you want to know more about, you can go there. You can send us an email and ask. Or you can go to iTunes to the podcast, type in Consider This with Big Joe Clark, and you'll have my last 5 years worth of shows if you want to go and listen to them and see how they work and go. Today we're going to talk about an issue that I'm going to spend some time on that's really about special needs. And I think we live in a world today where we look at special needs and we think about people that are physically or mentally and debilitated. They have a disease that changes them from being able to be a quote unquote normal person. And so I'm going to walk you through some ABLE accounts and those kind of things. But the real thing I want you to understand about special needs is that I think most families have them. We live in a world today where the asset base is simply larger than what it used to be. When you died in the past and you had a pension, your kids didn't get the pension. You didn't give your child that's making $40,000 a year a $40,000 pension to take with them. Today, when you die, there's $1 million 401k account or IRA account, and people are just leaving this behind to children. And I don't care how old you are. I've watched 50-year-olds inherit money and make big mistakes. It's an enabling thing for people that are alcoholics or drug or gambling, but it's also a life-changing event emotionally when you're used to living on $30,000 or $40,000 a year and suddenly you've got $1 million in an account. And without having proper planning in place to help people understand that, what to do with it and how to make it work, you get into trouble. So when we put together trust, when we do legacy planning with the attorneys that we work with, I am not an attorney, but when we work with our estate planning attorneys, that's one of the things that we really try to hit. It's not a special needs trust per se because somebody needs Medicaid planning. It's a special needs trust because we all have special care that we want to leave behind to the people that we love so dearly.
Right.
We're going to talk about a few other things, including qualified charitable distributions. We'll take a break, get right into the show. If you've got a question or comment, shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
We are happy to have you along. Hey, this next topic, I would love to make lively and fun and exciting. But Sherry, it's a sad issue, but I'm seeing more and more what we call special needs issues.
Yes. You know,
now, I've been in this industry for over 30 years, and maybe it's just nobody wanted to talk to a 21-year-old or a 25-year-old about autism or, you know, handicapped issues or those kind of things. Maybe we didn't know as much as we do now.
Or maybe it's more prevalent.
Right. So I'm not going to go there.
Right.
What I am going to tell you is special needs come from multiple circumstances. And a lot of people ignore one side of the issue. So obviously kids that are special needs, autism, having a, you know, cerebral palsy, whatever that happens to be, mm-hmm. where they're getting a Medicaid type of assistance, mm-hmm. You need to be aware of some things. And we're going to talk through a few of those things that you need to understand and be aware of. But the other side of this is assets are becoming larger and larger and larger that are being transferred to that next generation.
Right.
And it truly is an enabling issue. You know, when you've got somebody who's making, you know, they're 25 or 35 years old and they're starting a family and they're living, you know, hopefully not paycheck to paycheck, but pretty darn close. And they mm-hmm. don't have a lot of assets. And all of a sudden dad dies and they get $1 million check in the mail. I see bad things happen with that all the time.
Right.
So when I set up trust for people, when I work with our attorneys, I'm not an attorney, don't pretend to play one. But one of the things that I build into the trust planning work that we do for our families is a special needs clause for all kids.
Yeah.
It's not just for ones that have mental deficiencies. It's ones that said, okay, we're going to give you opportunities to take responsibility, but also opportunities to mess up and it be okay because we've got your backside in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a critical thing. We've helped a lot of families go in that direction. I'm going to run this through with a special needs issue though. You know, it's a big part of what you have to deal with is essentially three different issues, if you will. And then there's the fourth elephant in the room, as they say, which is the emotional side. You know, emotionally, I've heard the statement used retirement for three. So it's me, Barb, and one of my kids if they were a special needs issue.
Right, right.
You cannot get rid of that emotional burden. Who's going to take care of that person when I'm gone? We had a mentally handicapped kid that went to church with us for 20 years.
Mm.
And I know that was dad's biggest concern.
Sure. Right?
He had no other siblings. What happens to him when we're gone?
Right.
You know, so it's an issue. The big thing on the legal side is understanding that we live in a changing environment, right? So especially if you move states, understand that Medicare is a national program. Medicaid is a state plan. So Medicaid is different in Indiana than it is in Ohio. Than it is in Illinois.
Huh.
Yeah. So when you move from, when you set up a special needs trust, what you hear people like me tell you is trust travel from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very true. But a special needs trust is written in such a manner that it complies with the Medicaid rules inside of a particular state.
Wow.
Right? So, okay. You know, and I don't want to confuse anybody. Generally, you've got to have less than $2,000 in assets to be on Medicaid. And generally, you have to have very low income, but please keep in mind it is state by state. There are local chapters of a place called the ARC, that's ARC, that you can go online and find. We've got one in Indianapolis that you can go through to try to find out some of this information, and it's usually ran by people who've got special needs issues in their family or who are motivated philanthropically to try to help, you know, society in a way, if it will. This is a very challenging issue because I see people make bad decisions Medicaid planning wise. I have a family that I take care of. Actually, it's a single mom or a single aunt now. She has no kids and husband died. And there's about $500,000 in assets. She has three nieces and nephews. She gave us their names, their social security numbers. My team filled it out as the beneficiaries. And then in the family update, because every year we sit down and we go through those beneficiaries, I always ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the children is autistic.
Yeah.
And who was set up to get $150,000 of IRA money, which would totally destroy the Medicaid planning, the way that it works,
wow.
that hurt the family. So
yeah.
the niece didn't know that the aunt was leaving this money behind.
Wow.
Right. And so essentially they would have had to been smart enough to disclaim. And in some states that doesn't even work. And in 30 days when the money was recognized, the Medicaid planning would have been, the Medicaid assistance would have been gone, money exhausted. So we helped her get with an attorney out there. I worked with him. We've got the accounts funded correctly so that the two kids get the majority of the assets. The special needs trust gets other money that is able to help with the daily needs. Right now, what you need to understand with daily needs, Sherry, is there are things that aren't covered by Medicaid, you know, like some dental work, some
yes.
therapies, some communication devices, things that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Special Needs Trust does specifically is it helps with daily living needs without jeopardizing the Medicaid funding that comes from the government and the state to help take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at this, there are people who are qualified. According to the College of Financial Planning and the Board of Standards for the Certified Financial Planner group, which, you know, I'm a part of, there's about 1,000 planners across the country that have any experience in this at all.
Wow.
There's about 250 that are actually chartered. And the credentials that you're looking for are CHSNC. It's Chartered Special Needs Consultant.
Wow.
And it's something that I could add to my CFP, you know, if I had time and we're doing it. We've done a pretty good job, I think, of building a network of people to say, hey, here's what you need to consider. Here's what a trust needs to look like. Here are some of the sources that are out there. There is one thing you need to be a knowledge and understand. It's called an ABLE account. And an ABLE account is specifically designed for people who were diagnosed before age 26.
Really?
Right. So somebody who's been handicapped their entire lives.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a few clients that are like that.
Sure.
Where we have the ABLE account. Now, just newsflash, Google, by the way, is data sensitive, not date sensitive.
Right.
Right. And I tell everybody
we
that.
We say that. Yep.
So when I looked at the rules this morning, just to brief myself before we did the show, it says that you can put $14,000 a year into the ABLE account, but you've got $100,000 total before you reach a challenging event, if you will, where you kind of violate some of the rules. My guess is with the tax code change, December 22nd of 2018, where we can now give $15,000 a year away, my guess is that 14 is probably 15, but I don't know that to be for sure.
Yeah.
But just keep in mind, there's a limited amount of money you can put into it every year.
Mm.
You've got a maximum amount of money there, but ABLE accounts, A-B-L-E, if this is an issue that's in your life, it's one of those things that you can look up. We're more than happy to help you walk through it. It's part of the deed, but I think understanding some of the financial strategies and tools, and especially some of the legacy planning issues that you have, and don't forget the enabling issue, right? It's, so it's not just kids with autism. It's
right. Yeah.
It's not that at all. We just need to be careful with our resources as we pass them on. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Contos. You got a question or comment, shoot me an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. Sherry and I will take a break. We'll be right back.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to the welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark. I almost said the Market Carver, Sherry.
Oh, wow. No.
Market Carver is a video newsletter that we send out every week. It's free to the people who listen to this show and are friends of the Financial Enhancement Group. Our families get a longer one, the ones we take care of, but we're happy to give you a shorter one. I'm going to talk about it later in the show today, but you can go to yourlifeafterwork.com and get signed up for the Market Carver. What we're going to talk about today, it happened again, Sherry, and somebody who was taking care of their own money.
Yes.
Remember, we're fiduciary, so we don't sell anything at the Financial Enhancement Group. I have to take care of you as if it were my own money and I were in your situation.
Yep.
If you're working with a broker or an insurance agent, you're your own fiduciary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so this guy got a letter in the mail.
Yes.
He had $1 million account.
Yes.
It was inside of an annuity.
Uh-huh.
And he had rolled over a 401k, hadn't needed the money, and all of a sudden got a letter saying that he had to take out a certain amount of money this year.
Okay.
Okay? And he's married, so the number was right around $35,000, and he about had a cow.
Woo.
So he sees me on the golf course, and he goes, Joseph, I don't understand what in the world just happened here.
Mm.
Somehow or another, a guy with $1 million didn't know what a required minimum distribution was.
Mm.
He thought he had an annuity contract, thus he didn't have an IRA anymore, and that would avoid the required minimum distribution.
Wow.
That is inaccurate. And then if you ever come to any of our workshops, I'll teach you that you've got stocks, bonds, and cash that are investments.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrapped around something else that's usually a packaged product called a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund. And that could be wrapped around another thing called a tax code. The tax code could be a 401k, 403b, IRA, and it may or may not have a Roth option. In between the packaged mutual fund and the tax code, there can be another wrapper that's based on the insurance industry.
Mm.
And annuities can be IRAs or they cannot be IRAs.
Mm.
If you have an annuity that is not an IRA, no, there is not a required minimum distribution.
So his was an IRA.
His was an IRA, and he should have known that because it came from a 401k that he rolled over and thought that he could manage on his own, and he did a good job managing the money. He just missed this required minimum distribution. He goes, Joseph,
what am I
supposed to do with this $35,000 that I don't want to pay taxes on and I don't need? Right?
Oh, wow.
So there's a couple things that he can do. There's a new provision that came out a couple years ago that's called a QLAC, Qualified Lifetime Annuity Contract. And what it lets you do is delay a portion of the required minimum distribution. You literally take it's a limited amount of money, but in his case, about 10%, a little more, that he could take and defer until a later age so that he didn't have to take a required minimum distribution on it. And if he died early, he had some guaranteed income that was along the way. That's one thing that he could do. The second thing that he could do is do the QCDs, or qualified charitable distributions. And in this case, that's where you take that required minimum distribution. You cannot touch it. You take that money and you give it directly to a charity, a 501c3 organization, or church, university, place like that. Now, hear me carefully on this. If you do a qualified charitable distribution, there are a few rules. Rule number one, Sherry, it has to go directly to the charity.
Right.
So you can't take the money out
and then give it.
Read an article, hear my show, and go, ooh, I want to give that money now.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
So you can do it with required minimum distribution, but you can also do it up to $100,000 a year if you wanted to, even if that's more than your required minimum distribution.
Okay.
If your RMD is more than 100, you're still limited to 100.
Okay.
I have people that have to take out more than $100,000 a year.
Wow.
And remember, that's each of you. So if you have a hubby and a wife and each have to take out 85, got one of those, you could give away both of those 85s. Okay.
But you can't receive it.
No, you can't get it. Has to go to the charity. Rule number one.
Okay. Got it.
Rule number two, it has to go to the general fund.
The charity.
So think about my church. I cannot leave money behind to the missions committee. Now I can leave money. I can give money out of an RMD if I were of that age. I'm 51, not near that. But if I had it and I was going to make a gift to a missions charity, so a 501c3 like CSI in Muncie, it's a missions group, I could leave the money to them.
But you couldn't specify.
I say leave. I could gift it to them as a QCD.
Right.
But I couldn't gift an individual missionary.
Right. Exactly. Okay? Got it.
The third thing is I can't get any material or notoriety or anything for it. There can't be the big Joe Clark Hall.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I can't build a building.
So here's the importance of understanding that. The wirehouses, even TD Ameritrade, where we keep all of our money, Schwab, Fidelity, they all kind of got together and said, listen, we don't want the responsibility for Sherry's mom making a gift and following all three of those rules. So we're going to send Sherry's mom a 1099 like she took the money out and spent it.
Even though she's not doing that.
Even though you gave it to the charity.
You're kidding.
Which is one more time why I try to remind you that there is nothing that will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah.
Right? He did a fine job getting to the $1 million.
Okay.
He didn't understand required minimum distributions, which has nothing to do with investing, has everything to do with tax and recognition of income.
Yeah.
Didn't understand what a QCD was, right? But what happens to people, and we have this happen every year, it's why we work so closely with people's CPAs. You know, the FEG One Stop is designed to have competent CPAs and competent estate planning attorneys work with financial people who get it and know what's going on. We force that one stop. You come to one location, you've got all three entities working together, making sure that things happen. And they're separate entities, but they come to one location to make life simpler. The point is, if we don't remind your mom, right, because at 70 you may remember.
Right.
But at 85, you may not.
Right.
You just give your CPA the stuff, as we say. The CPA doesn't know that you gave it, right? And so you've got to go in and look at that 1099, and the CPA has to, on the 1040, make a note that says, hey, this is a QCD. Some churches, mine church, does not send out even a gift receipt that says, hey, there was a gift made.
Really?
Because it's not, they know it's a QCD. It says it's a QCD right on the distribution. Right? And so they don't even look at it that way. The church puts it in the coffers. And you don't even have anything to remind you unless you pay attention to this. So those are the issues that he had to deal with.
You're telling me that they send them a 1099 even though they know that? Even though they know?
They don't want to be, they being the custodian,
right,
do not want to be liable for those three things being met. I mean, newsflash, there are crooks in this world.
Yes,
right? There are people who will say, hey, I'm a 501c3 organization.
Yep.
Donate to my peanut factory.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And it's not a 501c3. Thus, it wouldn't be a qualified charitable distribution.
I get it.
And TD Ameritrade, Schwab, Fidelity, none of them want to be on the hook for making that decision, if you will, in terms of what's going on. There are some other strategies that we use to help people prepare for required minimum distributions that we've talked about on the show. Bracket bumping is one of those, making sure when you recognize you're going to have to pay income tax on a required minimum distribution at a certain level, it's important understanding that. We'll spend another time talking about the bracket bumping. Roth conversions, obviously, are another strategy that can be employed for people that are under 59 and a half that effectively are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. People wake up some mornings, right, and they They didn't talk to their parents, and they inherited $1 million IRA, and they go, my goodness, now all of a sudden I have $2 million of tax-deferred money. The inherited IRA, they've got to take required minimum distributions today. They know they're going to have to in the future, and it's time to start making some changes, thinking about younger spouse contributions. There's a lot of strategies that are there that we can't get into right now, but this is an important conversation.
Wow.
Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark. For more, you can go to yourlifeafterwork.com. Give us a call, 800-928-4001. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
And I'm drinking coffee while talking on the radio. It's
I
a
do
beautiful
that all
thing.
The time. Yeah,
you know, yes, you do. But you don't talk as much as I do. So that's kind of cheating. It's not fair. Hey, you know, it always entertains me when people make statements that are so affirmative. Joe, we know the market is too high. Joe, we know the market is too expensive. Joe, we know the market has ran too long. You know, and it's usually not families that I take care of. It's usually people who are interviewing me or have got their own bias and their and what they're wanting is me to agree with
right.
their assessment.
They're almost like everybody knows that.
Yes.
You know, okay.
And we're having some crazy things happen in the market right now because people are trying to chase returns because you've got underperforming money managers that are out there. Because they let that attitude seep into their head as well.
Right.
A little bit of a political bias, but there's other issues that go around with it as well. So they said, when would be the worst time to retire? And, they're looking at their accounts and they've got $1 million in their account.
The worst time to retire financially or age-wise?
Financially.
Or financially.
Right,
okay.
Financially. So they've got $1 million in an account and they start making assumptions.
Okay.
Over how much money they can take. And I'll just take you back to the Bad News Bears. And if you, you know, spell assume and do some underlining, you can figure it out.
Right, right, right.
You know, so that you have to put in some assumptions. I will tell you that the best time to retire is actually in the middle of a bear market. Actually, at the end of a bear market, if you would know when it was. Because instead of looking at your $1 million account, remember, in order to be a bear, you have to fall in 20% from the top.
Okay.
Right. So suddenly your millions now 800,000. And now you're making a decision as to whether or not you can live on $800,000 as opposed to
a million. Right. I see.
And then in theory, you will have greater returns. It's called sequencing risk. You'll have greater returns going forward because you've already had the bad years while you were working. Right. The worst time to retire, obviously, would be March 10th of 2000. October 7th of 2007, you know, you've got two of the all-time market peaks.
Right.
You know, and people, you know, I had engineers from General Motors retiring in their early 50s because the accounts were going up 30 and 40% a year in 98, 99.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of we're printing cash, you know, I'll be a billionaire by the time I'm 70.
Sure.
You know, and life will be good.
Mm.
Obviously, that is not the... the plan. So here's what I will tell you when you think about the timing of retirement and how we look at it at the Financial Enhancement Group. When I sit down with people, I help them design a budget. And I don't tell you what to spend your money on. Never will, won't do it, ain't going to happen. What I want to know is how much money does it take to maintain your standard of living, because that's what retirement really is about, your standard of living as it is today. And so Sherry's going to tell me that it's $5,000 a month. I'm going to go, okay, $5,000.
Okay.
I'm going to say, Sherry, how much of that is designed for you to go to the place in Canada, to take the grandkids to Disney, call social expenditures?
Yeah.
Right? And the reason I do that is we're trained academically as a CFP and all of this crazy computer software when you go to other financial planning firms that they use.
Mm-hmm.
We are trained to take what that number is, that $5,000 a month, I'm trained to look at Sherry, to go to her life expectancy, add 5 years, because that gets me to the 97th percentile,
right?
And extrapolate an assumed inflation rate,
mm-hmm.
right? We were taught in CFPville that that number was 3.84% back in the mid-90s.
I remember.
So we're supposed to take that $5,000 and run out Sherry's life expectancy of another 25 years or so,
mm-hmm.
and then look at it and go, Sherry, you clearly don't have enough money to retire because you're going to need $18,000 a month then.
Then, right? Right, yeah.
So what we're going to do is either increase the risk so we have a higher assumed rate of return. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's you know, you got the gun, the barrel, one bullet.
Right?
It's that game, because remember, you only got one shot at retirement, so don't blow
right.
this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do not let a computer mm-hmm. outthink you.
Mm.
Do not let, just because everybody else does it, make it okay, because it's not, right? So what you do is you instead of you taking a higher amount of risk on the thing, you recognize that at some age, Sherry will slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, demographically, across our country, at age 65, we see what's called discretionary spending begin to slow.
At 65?
At 65. In my practice, it's been 68.
Yeah.
And that tends to be because we have people who weren't at bars at 3 o'clock last night.
Right.
Right. And tend to be in better, they've had better access to healthcare, et cetera.
Yep.
But I see a notable change at 68. People either can't get away from grandkids,
mm-hmm.
they can't get away from a doctor,
yeah.
Or the comfy couch is simply comfy.
Comfy, right? Yeah,
and,
right.
And you don't want to go anymore, right? So the concept, the notion to me that people would continue to assume that social expenditures would rise the same way that fixed expenditures did into your 80s and 90s doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, so after 30 years of doing this and the first 10 years of behaving, as they would say,
mm-hmm.
doing what I was trained to do as an academic and as a CFP, I now have 90-year-olds with lots of money and not a lot of life.
Yeah, right.
So today what we would do is I would look at you and say, hey, what's that budget,
mm-hmm.
right, divided into social and fixed. We take the fixed expense, and we do have to assume there's going to be an inflation rate.
Yes.
It is an assumption, but we have to assume there will be that. So you have to extrapolate it out. But the social expense, I flatline.
Yeah, right? at a certain point.
So in purchasing power goes down every year, but you have more money to be able to spend today mm-hmm. in a greater certainty. The second thing we do then is apply the three-year rule. Right. Markets do go up and down. And in 1998, 1999, markets were shooting way up.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted to come in and adjust their income. We said, no. You know, if it stays up for 3 years, then we'll adjust the income
right.
with an appropriate assumption, appropriate rate of withdrawal. In 2008, I had people who wanted to reduce their money coming out. And I understand that nature, but I said, hey, hold on. We have a process for this. We've always had a process for this. We've talked about it before. Do not think that just because 2008 happened that there's going to be a 2009 and 2010. And as we all know, the market worked its way back up and right now at all-time highs. So if 3 years the market is still down, or if 3 years the market is still up, when I do your review in year one, like when we did the family updates in 2008, we said, hey, if the market's still down in 3 years, then we'll make an adjustment to your income. Right. If the market is still up in 3 years, we'll make an adjustment to your income. Right.
Okay.
But in the meantime, let's stick to the game plan, because we know markets often get out of whack in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I can look at an adult and say, hey, especially retiree, you know, over the next 3 years, you may have to make an adjustment. I think most of us are okay with that. What people aren't okay with is adjusting every 6 months, right? You know, oh, goodness, the market went up. I can spend more. The market went down. Oh, no. You know, now cancel the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes no sense to me. And so we have to have that systematic way of going in. The third thing in is to recognize that we do different things with money at different stages of our financial career. When we're talking about retirement, you're going from preservation, where it's the only time that average return matters, but you have to be there beginning, middle, and end to get average.
Right.
Now we're going to distribution, where you truly are pulling money out.
Right.
And your two goals during distribution are to control volatility, number one, and number two, to the tax rate you pay on the average dollar that you pull out. That is our plan of how we're able to take care of this volatility. I don't care if the market's at a peak today when you retire, Sherry. I don't care if it's at an all-time low. With our process, I feel comfortable in saying, here's the amount of money that you can spend comfortably and not have to worry about what's going on. And we've worked hard to develop that process over the last 25 years. It's called Your Life After Work for a reason. I focused on distribution. It matters, and we're ready to talk to people about it. Hey, we'll have to take a break. Go to the website for more, yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-928-7007. That's 800-928-7007. Call 800-928-7007 today.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kantos.
Happy to have you along. Yep. Hey, folks, remember there are 5 segments to the show, and whatever station you're listening to, you only get 4 because of timing, but you can get the whole show at yourlifeafterwork.com. Or iTunes, Consider This with Big Joe Clark. This is the Sherry segment where she's able to bring in questions things that she wants to talk about. I'm not allowed to know the topic ahead of time, so every now and then she gets me stumped.
I do. Well, I don't know if I've ever stumped you.
Well,
I tried lots of times.
All right, what are we up to today?
Okay, I have 2 questions. The first one's pretty quick, and we have talked about this before. You mentioned it earlier on this show, actually. So I have friends, several friends. I'm a few months older than you, just a mere number of hours. And so a lot of my friends are thinking about retirement. They're not there yet, but they're thinking about it, planning on it. You mentioned somebody who was retired, wanted to consider purchasing a home that was a lot more expensive than their current home and looking at their investment counts to leave them as they are and taking out instead a mortgage. And so my question is this, because I was asked this by some people that are actually considering something similar but are not retired yet. Mm-hmm. Their question is, does a mortgage company look at investment income the same way they look at regular income?
If you have a broker, in most cases, the answer is no.
Okay.
If you have a fiduciary who is got some credentials behind their name and some experience, then in most of the cases, they're okay. So I will call the banker. Happens mm-hmm. all the time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I do this on a regular basis. I will call the banker. And, you know, we have people with a lot more than $1 million in an IRA.
Sure.
That don't need it for income, and we're not adding it to their tax return. So their taxable income, which is what a banker looks at, mm-hmm. maybe $80,000 a year between their Social Security and what they need to take out of their IRA or out of their accounts.
Right.
But I'm sitting on the ability to be able to provide a $5,000 additional monthly income if they need it.
If they need it, right, exactly.
And so what I'm able to do then is to write a letter. I have to sign it and say, you know, as a, you know, as a CFP and as a fiduciary, and based on the where we are in the processes, we could add another $5,000 a month to the account.
If we needed to.
If we needed to. And okay. I've not had ever a banker not accept that.
Mm.
They put it in the file for the regulators because that's really what you have to prove.
Right.
You know, the banking world, it is all about when the regulator comes in, can they prove that they didn't give Joe a loan that they would have given to Sherry? Vice versa. Right?
I see.
So they can't pick and choose on individual
right.
loans like they used to.
There can be no prejudicial right. kind of treatment.
And age, race, you know, any of that other stuff. So you got to be able to be covered. But yes, you can count investment income. You can count your assets, not the asset itself,
but the income, derived from
that
it.
That could be derived from it.
Potential.
They will take and accept if you're working with somebody that knows how to write the letter and has done this for a while.
That's interesting. So they will look at the advisor.
Mm-hmm. They not all advisors.
They'll consider.
Yeah. I mean, this is... You know, we've been around for a while.
Yeah.
$350 million plus in assets.
Sure.
So, yeah,
sure.
They give,
makes
us,
sense.
Give us a little bit of credence to the process in terms of what's going on.
Okay.
Now, the question always becomes, should you?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And, you know, we talked about that in
should
another segment
what?
On the show. Should you use your assets or
mm-hmm.
should you use the income off the assets
mm-hmm.
To be able to buy that other home? And
right.
the common belief is when I reach a certain age, I'm going to downsize. And I see that happen a lot. But what doesn't downsize is the cost.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
The assumption is, hey, I'm going to get rid of my $200,000 house and buy a $100,000 condo. Yeah, ain't happening.
Mm.
You buy a smaller place, but usually the price is equal to or greater than, in my experience, almost across the board.
Right.
So when we look at that and understand that, you, again, get into people's individual situations to see what is going on and what is the best thing. Always start with the tax plan.
Sure.
Right? What is the best thing from the tax structure? Because if you don't understand how that will help or hinder you, you will have a problem.
Right.
Mortgage brokers continue to tell people that mortgage interest is deductible. And it is deductible. However, the standard deduction is now so large that in many cases... it's an immaterial point.
Sure, right?
If married, filing jointly, you got $24,000 this year of itemized deductible expenses or of a standard deduction that you can take. You're limited to $10,000 in state and local taxes. You have your charitable gifting. And for many people, the mortgage interest simply isn't high enough with the charitable stuff to get them above 24.
Yeah.
So you have to you have to keep that in consideration.
Okay. Okay. Well, so in the remaining... number of minutes here in my segment, I want to talk about my friends and even to some extent me.
Yeah, it's all about Sherry.
It's all about me. That are in the preservation stage of finance. We
so
talk about this.
Preservation is when you're not pulling any money out yet,
mm-hmm.
right? So you may be saving, you may not be saving, but you've got this pile of money that is hopefully still growing.
It's accumulating. It's growing. It's growing. But you know you're going to be entering distribution
mm-hmm.
probably, you don't know when, maybe mm-hmm. the next 5 years, maybe the next 10 years, depends on how long you want to work. And I know that you do a practice year when you get, you know, real close mm-hmm. to retirement. But what about those of us who aren't there yet, but we know it's not like, you know, decades down the future.
Right.
What should we be considering right now that we, I mean, what's in our thought process? Should we be keeping?
Okay, so the first thing you do is you examine what your existing mailbox checks are. Those are checks that are coming in that you cannot stop. That could be pension. That could be Social Security you elected to take early.
Mm-hmm.
If you're over 70, they required minimum distributions.
Okay.
We do have people who are 70 who still want to work.
Right.
I think three of them retired last year or this year. But what we do then is look to figure out what tax bracket you are going to be forced to be in because of the mailbox checks.
Sure. Okay.
So if that's the 12% bracket, or if that's the 22% bracket.
You mean at retirement?
No, right now.
Okay, okay.
And then what will it be at retirement based on what we know about the mailbox checks then?
Sure.
As well as required minimum distributions when they hit.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in many cases is we have people begin to either do Roth conversions now up to that what we call bracket bumping.
Yeah.
Up to that bracket that they're stuck in already. We just don't want to push them into another bracket.
One, yep.
We certainly don't want to make Medicare Part B premiums any higher. So we pay attention to that as well before the bracket bumping. depending again where you are. But we either do Roth conversions or we have people simply take money out and put it in an account that is after tax. So, you know, when I've got people literally with $1 million accounts that are in the 10% bracket just because they don't have the income.
Right.
And I look at them and go, listen, when you get to 70 and a half, well, you're going to be in the 22% bracket just because of withdrawals.
Mm.
So if I can take money out today and pay the IRS 12 is a lot better than 22.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
the tax
yeah.
codes could sunset, you know, in 2020 to 2026, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
And the brackets could go back up. So it's a good question, but it really is that. And then there's the third component, any assumed or known inheritance. And factoring that in as well, because it should change your asset mix if you're paying attention to this stuff properly.
Yep.
Good question. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Go to yourlifeafterwork.com. And if you got any questions or comments, give us a call, 800-928-4001. Sherry and I will have a great week. We hope you have one too. Take care.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,